From every tribe, language, and people and nation, this is a truly inclusive message. People say from every part of humanity, look at what you've done, Lord. And then, we have salvation being worked out in the world around us as God keeps doing this, as he works it out, as he plays out its impact. For instance, the church in China, which I wonder at over and over again, around 2.5 million evangelical Christians in 1975, to about 75 million in 2010. Who knows how many now? It's probably the biggest people to Christianity in history happening now in our world. Look at what you're doing, Lord. Look at what you've done. Extraordinary. Or Vietnam. Despite massive oppression from the government, there is massive growth. Just one instance, one of the groups of people, the Hmong people, they had no Christians in 1988. By 2008, there was about 400,000. I don't know how many there are now. From zero to 400, that's better than a Maserati. That is extraordinary. Look at what you've done, Lord. Feel the joy in that. Millions of Christians in Vietnam who are believers, they are our brothers and sisters right now. And more are becoming like our brothers and sisters all the time. Look at what you've done, Lord. When I see the way a young woman I know, from the big down to the individual, young woman I know who has dealt honestly with struggles and doubts in her faith, and she's held on through them with a determined honesty. She hasn't avoided them or just hidden from them, but she hasn't given up either. And I see her and I say, look at what you've done, Lord, in her. That's wonderful. When I think back on Adrian, who's a dear man from a church that I was at, in Australia, who spent years work to no avail, rejection after rejection, and yet it could not squash his wonder. For week after week, he was overcome to the point that gave him. And then Adrian would go about faithfully serving and sweeping church and setting up the church every week because he loved to serve the Lord. And I think back on him, moved immediately to say, look at what you've done in that precious man, Lord. God does incredible things. And praising is noticing and rejoicing. Look at what you've done. Look at what you've done. And that's the first reason we have to praise him, because of all he's done. In verse 4 of this psalm, we're called to enter his gates. So we've seen shout for joy, and then the reason, look at what you've done. Now enter his gates. And this is the idea of coming before the Lord into his presence in praise. It was already there back in verse 2, coming before him, but now the call is to his courts, into his presence. This is the call to come into his presence and give him thanks and praise his name. And it's worth recognizing that our being with is in itself a cause for praise. It's extraordinary that we are in the presence of the God of the universe. That's something to consciously realize and take a hold of. He is to be with all who trust in Jesus by the presence of his Spirit with us. And that is a promise he will not break. So we are always, we're in that. Take hold of it. It's an extraordinary privilege. Not only are we his people, but he is always with us. No matter how hard things may be, he will always be with us. So praise him. Speak to him in praise because he hears you. He's with you. Praise him. A little side point here as well. Thompson pointed out to me that we were doing a sermon on prayers of thanks and also a sermon on prayers of praise in the same series, a few weeks apart. But he said thanks and praise are very similar. He was exactly right. And the same Hebrew word, as he pointed out to me, is often used for thanks and praise. And you can see in this verse, in verse 4, how much thanks and praise go together. And praise and thanksgiving go together. And that makes sense because the things you want to thank God for are the kind of things that you praise. But if there is a difference between the two, praise is almost like a pre-thanks thing. It leads to thanks, and sometimes straight away. But even in a sense, or thanks. In a sense, it's just speaking the wonder and joy of what God has done. So, come into his presence and praise him. And because if you are someone today, you have his Spirit, you're in his presence. So praise him. By the way, if you're not someone who trusts in Jesus, put your trust in Jesus and he will always be with you. He's wonderful. So come and praise him. And again, if you ask why, you'll get another reason, slightly different reason from verse 5. Because of who God is. We saw from verse 3 that praise is saying, look at what you've done, Lord. Well, here from verse 5, it's also saying, look at what you've done, look at who you are. Verse 5 again. Have a look again with me. For, that's a reason word. So this is the reason phrase. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. To praise him here. Three great reasons to praise him. His goodness, his love, his faithfulness. But just before we touch on those for a moment, I'm going to add an extra one from sort of the previous part where we saw what he did in creation and salvation, and that is his greatness. So we've got his greatness, his goodness, his love, and his faithfulness. For his greatness, did you hear the way the story in Revelation chapter 5 unfolded as Nick read it for us? It started with this, who can open the scroll? The scroll with God's just and saving purposes, but there was no one who could open the scroll. And the author, John, who was watching, he was overcome in the scroll. God's purposes were closed to us until this lion or lamb appears. And the lamb is great enough to take the scroll and to open it. He is great enough to do that. This lion and this lamb is Jesus, the lion, and who is slain like a lamb for our sin. And so the cry goes up in heaven, you are worthy. Worthy is the lamb. Praise him because he's the one great enough to save us. He is the only one great enough to save you and me. Look at who you are, Lord, in your greatness. Praise God too for his goodness. He is good. You see his character of goodness, care for, and his patience with the people of Israel for so much celebrating. But you see his goodness above all in Jesus Christ. Like when you take up the book of Philippians in the Bible and you read and it says that Jesus Christ was in very nature God. In other words, he was God himself through whom the whole universe was created. But he didn't hold on to it for himself. But he humbled himself by becoming human like us. And then he further submitted himself to death. And even more than that, it was a humiliating, horrible death. He gave us because he wanted to do good to us. Because he is good. See that. And then see the goodness of God. You look and see the goodness of God. Look at who you are, Lord. You are good. Or also his love, which is very closely related. His love, the psalm says here, only once, not 26 times, but still. This love is shown in Christ, the lamb who was slain to purchase men for God by his son, who was humbled in death, who humbled himself in death. Why? Why did he do it? Well, because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Because of his love. That precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed for me and for you out of love. What God's love is like. Look at who you are, Lord, in your love and in his faithfulness. He didn't abandon his people in the time of the psalm, or ever abandon his people. As it said in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, these people that Jesus purchased will reign on the earth. Why? Because God will be faithful. And he's shown that because of his faithfulness to Jesus, who even when he died and submitted himself to death, God made sure that was not the end and raised him to life in faithfulness. He will be faithful to us beyond anything we could ever deserve. We may be fickle, he is faithful. So look at who you are, Lord, in your faithfulness. And when I think on these things about God, how he has shown his goodness, his love, his faithfulness, his greatness, not just out there, but to me. When I have failed him time and again, when I have gone back to the muck of sin that he saved me from, yet he has not failed me. And I may have walked away from him at times, but he has never walked away from me. He is faithful. His love endures forever. When I've been through hard times, he has not left me. He's shown me his kindness. He's shown me his kindness through his people at Trinity here recently, me and my family. His great kindness through his people here. He assured me of forgiveness when I've failed him. He has assured me that he will never. Such great goodness. Such great greatness. Such great loving faithfulness. Look at who you are, Lord. And I know we don't always feel like that. I know we don't always feel like praising him. We can feel flat. Things can be so hard that it's just hard to even think of praising him. I understand that. God understands that. He makes that clear in his word. We saw it a couple of weeks ago. But in those times, when you're feeling like that, dwell on what God has done and on who God is. Say them out loud. Read of them in the scriptures. You may find that there are particular passages of the Bible that really connect with you, that remind you of the joy that you have in the Lord. Particular verses maybe, or sections, stories. Go to them. When you're in that, read them. And let them awake your heart to his goodness again, to his love, to his faithfulness, to his greatness. Sing of his goodness, his love, and his faithfulness, and his greatness, as I do. That music, or particular songs, bring praise back to your heart when you're going cold. So sing those songs. There was a guy I used to live kind of very near, and he was a recovered alcoholic, and he was kind of a bit of a loner, and he went through some really hard times. He was a Christian man. And he said to me one day, sometimes I just don't want to pray, and I don't. But what he would do is he would bring home the hymn sheets from his church, and he'd sing quietly in the morning through these songs, things, hymns like Be Thou My Vision, and certain ones. He said, I sing through that, and then I want to pray. Wonderful. So if that works for you, do that. Sing of his greatness. Because it begets praise. In other words, praise leads to praise. So praise God in order to help your heart to praise him. Keep reminding yourself and saying, look at who you are, Lord. It's the way Psalm 100 starts, Revelation chapter 5 finishes, are very similar. Psalm 100 verse 1 says, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Revelation 13, he speaks of, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying praise. Again, both of those, all the earth, is coming together in praise. It is right, you see, for all the earth, all the universe to praise God. And things will join together to praise the Lord. That happy ending, that joy of it, like the nothing never was, that will be so reality. And we live, and we can choose to live and to pray in anticipation of that day which is coming. And we can creation will. As it says there in Revelation, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory forever and ever. Look at what you've done, Lord. Look at who you are, Lord. Praise your great name.